But just take a look at those verses. The first verse seems to me to speak about something that God works at the beginning with an individual. Open my eyes that I may see. We see our need for Him. Place in my hand the wonderful key that will unclasp and set me free. It's a work that He needs to do in us first. And then the second verse talks about our ears and God speaking to us and giving us His word. And then the last verse, that seems to be a preparation, right? And then the last verse, He sends us. Do you see that? I'm not making that up, am I? He sends us gladly the warm truth. I take it with me wherever I go. He fills me with His love. And so, Lord, we're waiting for You. You know, when we sit quietly before God, it's not wasted time. Oh, that's when God is working. If we would just get our attention on Him. Recognize that He is here. Not a word needs to be said. Not a song needs to be sung. Because God is speaking to you. God is working in your heart. If we open to Him and we say, Lord, have Your way. Speak to me. And so I trust this morning you were able to enter into that stillness. God wants to bring our inner man into that rest. You know, sometimes we can sit quietly. Sometimes some of us can't even sit quietly. You know, the leg goes, the foot goes, or something's going, and we can't seem to get into rest. But even when we're physically, outwardly at rest, sometimes inwardly, a lot of things are going on, right? And our mind is working, and it takes the grace of God to just bring us into that quietness, that stillness. Silently now I wait for Thee. And the Lord will come and reveal Himself. So let's, in these days, endeavor to get quiet. And maybe if it gets quiet in the meeting, don't allow yourself to be distracted. But just close your eyes and look to the Lord. Lord, what is it You're saying to me? What is it You're wanting to do for me? I just worship You. I look at You, Jesus. And so let's expect in these days that if there is, I was going to say bondages or things that are binding us, to be loosed, to set us free, let's expect that God's Spirit and the Word of Truth will come into our hearts in such a way that we'll be free. And then that we'll hear Him speak to us. Allow His Word to enter our hearts and then give us that grace to share it with others. God, work in us by Your Spirit. Hallelujah. Now I'd like us to take our Bibles and open to Matthew chapter 13. Now I know not all of you will be with us on this end of camp, but if you haven't received one of these green books, maybe you could just raise your hand and I'll ask John here to help me. But there are some good articles in there that you might want to read, even if you're not on this end of camp, about the Word of God. The theme for this year is the Bible, and I trust, have you all received that little booklet, How Firm a Foundation? You haven't received that yet? Okay, when you check in at the office and sign in, you should get one of those books. So if you haven't signed in and you've come on staff, please see Sister Lether in the office after this service. Could you do that for me? And she'll give you one of those books, How Firm a Foundation. Now, I know I said we're all staff here, but I think, Rich, you're a guest, right? But you feel like you're part of us, right? The staff, right? Of course, okay. But and so on this end of camp, we'll be looking at the Word of God and different things that the Bible says about the Bible. I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. We will travel together, my Bible and I. Did you learn that in Sunday school? That this is a wonderful treasure, and so we want to cherish God's Word. We had that yesterday. I cherish thy Word more than my daily bread. And so this morning we'll look into the 13th chapter of Matthew. The Bible is likened to what? What does it say on the top there? The good seed, right? All right. Now we'll read, each one of us can read a verse. We'll start with our sister Angie. All right, Matthew 13, verse 1.
On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea.
Brother Greg?
Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore.
He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds.
As he scattered them across the field, some seed fell on the footpath, and the birds came and ate them.
Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprung up quickly because the soil was shallow.
When the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root.
Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants.
Still other seed fell in good soil, where it produced a crop. 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown.
Who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Okay, so what did we read so far? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Can we keep going? We all got what was read so far? How many types of ground? How many types of ground?
Four.
There's four, right? Come on, now look back. There's four types of ground. All right. Now Jesus is going to explain the parable. But maybe we should write down, if you have your books, you'd like to write down, what were the four types of soil naturally? What were they? The first one.
The wayside.
The wayside, the pathway, right? It's like, you know, in the fields in those days, there were paths that went in between the crops. And the seed that fell on the path, well, that was one type of part. I'm going to come to that. So the wayside is one. And what does it say about the seed that fell on the wayside? The birds, right away they came, and you've seen that. And if any of you try to plant a grass seed, what happens? The birds come, they have a feast. And the same thing, it lays there on the path, and so the birds come and snatch it away. In the Gospel of Luke, it says it's trampled on. The seed is trampled on. And the birds come and devour it. All right, what was the second soil? I heard Brother Tom say it. It was rocky, right? It was rocks. What happened to that seed? Did it spring up? Yes, it did. Something grew. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes you'll see it just in a crevice of a rock. A plant will come out. I've driven down the BQE, the highway. In the medium barrier, you see like these plants growing up. Somehow that seed finds that little bit of soil and it springs up. But what does it say happens to that seed? It withers, right? It just wilts in the and why is it? Because it has no, what does the Bible say? Roots. It has no roots. Again, in Luke, it says it lacks moisture. There's no moisture. There's no water to give that plant life. And so it withers. And the third type of soil? Thorns. It grows up. In that plot of soil, there was these thorns that grew up. And they choke the Word of God. They choke the other plants, all right? And the fourth one? It's the fertile soil. It's the good soil. All right, and so now he's going to explain the parable to us. But in between there, his disciples ask a question. Verse 10, whose turn was it to read?
His disciples came and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to the people?
He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them.
For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has.
Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand.
In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving.
For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them.
But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear.
For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it.
Okay, let's just hold on. Do you see that song that we just sang in these verses? They have ears, but they don't. They don't hear. They have eyes, but they don't see. And unless the Spirit of God touches us, we're going to be like these that Jesus is speaking about. We need the work of God's Spirit to illumine us. You know, the Bible tells us that the enemy has blinded the eyes of those who are in darkness and unbelief. They can't receive the gospel. And it's a work of God, a work of His Spirit, to open our eyes, to open our ears, to open our hearts. This people's heart is waxed, what did you read that, John? Callous? Yeah. It's not tender. It's not responsive. How thankful we are for the work of God's Spirit to work in us. But let's go on and read this explanation that Jesus gives. Now, whose turn? Who was reading on this side?
Now, listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds.
When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown on the path.
As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles.
But since they do not have roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word.
22.
Who's that? The one who receives a seed that fell among the thorns is a man who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful.
But the one who receives the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times that of sown.
Okay, stop there. So, what is the seed?
God's word.
God's word. Good. And the farmer sows that seed. And I just thought how fitting this parable was for us here at camp. Do you think that seed is going to be sown in these days? Is the farmer going to throw that seed, cast that seed? What do you think? Throughout the camp, throughout this season, it's really about sowing the seed. And first we ought to take it to ourselves. Now, what kind of hearts do we have, right? Because that's what it seems the soil is. Jesus talks about the heart. So what kind of hearts do we have? When God's word comes to us, Is it like the wayside? What was the wayside like? What kind of heart was that? We don't understand what's said, right? They don't understand. They can't receive it. And I think sometimes when you might say, well, that was the fault of the soil. And that's true, but let's just take that for us. You know, we're going to have children that come to camp, right? And they're not going to be able to maybe take... we need to give the Word of God in a way that they can understand it and receive it. Because if we don't understand what's said, it's not going to go into our hearts. And so God has to give us grace to speak His Word in a way that it can be understood, in a way that people can receive it. Otherwise, the enemy is going to come and just those words, that thought, that good seed of God is not going to do its work. I believe it's in Luke where it talks about also unbelief. This is the wayside is like someone who just can't believe. I can't accept that. I can't accept that this is God's word. I can't accept that He died for me. It's just too simple. You know, and so as the word comes, doesn't find any entrance. It doesn't penetrate at all. And it's just taken away by the enemy. The birds come and devour it. All right, the second one. There were rocks in the soil. And what do you think those rocks could represent in our lives? What keeps God's word from really taking root? This one had no root. Didn't go deep. Lasted for a while. It says he received it with joy. Are there things that... Well, you help me. What could that be? What are some of the rocks? Or no thoughts?
Distractions.
Maybe distractions that we have? Other priorities. Yeah, hardness. I've thought that sometimes we allow attitudes to grow in our hearts. Things that don't allow God's word to enter, like you said, maybe something comes. How could God allow that? You know. And so when God's word comes and the temptation comes, there's not that foundation or that root. It hasn't gone down. It's not reaching the source of life. You know, in another lesson, we're going to look at that Psalm 1 where it talks about being planted by the rivers of water. You know, every plant needs moisture. And so it seems that the rocks, whatever that may be in our lives, keep us from receiving the moisture, the nourishment from God's Word. Maybe it also deals with doubts and discouragement, as we heard. So that when the testing comes, we're not able to stand. We haven't been rooted, as it were, in God's Word. It hasn't found its place in our lives. And so may God help us. The third one.
It seems that the soil there was good. You know, that they didn't really take care of it because the thorns weren't allowed to grow up. Mm-hmm. I never thought of that before, but Brother Thomas was whispering behind me, that's not soil. So it made me think about that. You know, like it's not, the seed obviously, it's good soil because the seed grows, but so do these thorns.
Other things are allowed to grow in that same soil. Now Valerie knows a lot about that. Maybe not the thorns, but the weeds. You know, you don't have to plant weeds, and you don't even have to water them. They just grow. You know, they grow and they take over. You know, if you don't weed your garden, what happens? It gets filled with weeds. You could plant all the good things there, all the flowers, and then, and those other things that are planted, those other things that are allowed to remain, they choke the life of God. They choke what God is doing in your heart. What is it? What's it likened to here? Worries, riches, pleasures. That's what it says in Luke. What does it say here? Worries, deceitfulness of wealth. They choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. And I think maybe that's the danger. For us, even as we go on with God, there's always that danger that cares, worries, deceitfulness of it. We need to have certain things that other people have. You know, we live in that type of society. It always amazes me. I hear the commercials, you know, live the life you deserve. You know, like have money, live the life you deserve. What do you mean? You deserve? Somehow you're entitled to be a millionaire? I don't understand that. But that's the deceitfulness of riches. And those things are all around us, and they bombard us, as it were. And so if we allow those things to grow in our hearts, they're going to choke out the Word of God, the life of God, and we become unfruitful. All right. And the last one is the good soil. He that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understands it, and also bears fruit, and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. Again, in the book of Luke, it talks about that he hears the word and he perseveres. He continues in God's word. He perseveres. And the good crop is harvested. I just wanted to just consider two more thoughts about this. As a gardener, as a farmer, what do you need to do? Or what is this really telling us about? It's not necessarily a story about planting, is it? Well, it is, but spiritually, what is it talking about? I think one word that comes to mind is preparation. You know, preparation. I'm going to tell a story about Valerie. Is that all right, Val? Can I tell a story? Yeah, I mean, I do it all the time, right? You're here, I'll try not to embarrass you too much. But Valerie planted flowers this year. In front of the house, she has a nice little plot there. And she planted, she went out to Home Depot, and she bought flats of flowers. And there I saw her out there with her little gloves on and shovel. And she's digging holes and planting flowers. Okay. So on one side of the garden, the flowers grew. And on the other side of the garden, they didn't grow. What's the difference? What's the difference? We don't know. But I told Valerie, plant flowers. You need to put a little fertilizer in the ground for peat moss, right?
You got sand in there. Too much sand.
Too much sand. See, now here's where we got an expert here. I better be careful. But you know, you dig that hole, you just don't drop the thing in there and put back that, you know, if you drop a little, you know. Is that what you did?
Yes.
Oh. You know, because that soil, all soil isn't the same, you know? And you can put your hands to that soil, and I'm sure good farmers, good gardeners, they know that this is no good. And sometimes it gets hard. It can be soft, right? And you water it, but after that water dries, it gets so hard. And so those roots, that tender plant can't get its roots down because that soil just doesn't have the tip. And so there's preparation that's required. So what does the farmer do? Before he plants, he plows that, and he makes furrows, and he goes back and forth, and he works that soil, because if that soil isn't good, in the sense that it's not going to receive the seed, he's doing something that's worthless. His seed will not produce the crop. And so it requires preparation. In Hosea 10:12, it says, what do we do when the ground is hard? What do we do? Break up the fallow ground. Break it up. And sometimes we, as Christians, we can have, as it were, hard hearts. Oh, I've heard that. Brother Phil, I've heard that all my life. And you say the same things. That's why I came second period, because maybe there are people there who didn't hear me before. But we need God's Word to come into our... But we're not prepared. We're not ready. Do you understand? And it's sometimes we don't even realize it. And so the prophet said, break up that fallow ground. Plow that ground. Turn it over. And you think the ground likes that when that big thing gets dragged through? And you think it likes that? Does that feel good? But it's necessary. It's necessary. And he likens that to seeking the Lord. Breaking up. It's time to break, and it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. And so we have this again. You've heard this, but we need to hear things again. You have this opportunity. This time at camp. Seek the Lord. Break up the fallow ground. Let him work in your heart. It says there, until he comes and rains righteousness upon us. Oh, he wants to make us more like Jesus. He wants us to have his character. He wants to change. He wants to just pour out upon us himself. But we need to spend that time to seek the Lord. The farmer doesn't say, well, I really don't have to plow the field today. You know, this year I'm not going to do it. It's all right. It'll take care of itself. No. He works at that. And beloved, we have to work at it, as it were. We have to give ourselves to seeking God. You know, some people have the idea, well, if God wants to bless me, he'll bless me. You know, I'm here. God, I'm here. Right, Christian? God, I'm here. You want to bless me? No. We put in the effort and we say, Lord, I need you. I want you. Come and change my heart. Change my heart, oh God. And then the other thought that I had about sowing, and I'd like to give this word to the counselors. It's in Psalm 126. Because in these days you will be sowing the seed. And we want to believe that the hearts of the campers are prepared. How often do we pray that way? Lord, prepare their hearts even now before they're at camp. God, come to them. Prepare them for the work that you want to do. You know, in the Old Testament, some of the kings, or many of the kings, it talks about their hearts. And they're judged before God by what was in their hearts. And one of the comments, he prepared not his heart to seek God. Or he prepared his heart to seek God. There's a preparation that needs to be done. But now here's another thought. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. He that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing. And so we have that encouragement, that admonition, that we need to sow this seed in tears. Now, what does that speak of? Well, I think it speaks to me about getting before God and humbling myself and allowing Him to soften my heart, grip my heart for the souls that He's sending my way. You know, you are responsible, counselors, for the children that are under your care. I remember Brother Gordon, he made that very clear to us, Brother Gordon Gardner. You're a shepherd. That's your flock. They're your responsibility. That's why you sleep at the door. They can't go in and out without you knowing it. But the spiritual side, you're called to be a shepherd over those children, to watch over their souls, to pray for them, to weep over them. And I trust that God would touch us by His Spirit in such a way that our hearts would be melted and broken for them. Lord, prepare their hearts, and may the word that goes forth, may it be good seed. You're not called to give them your opinions. You're not called to give them what you think. You're called to give them the word of God. And so it goes back to that song, "Open my ears and let me hear." What has God spoken to you? Has God been able to drop something into your heart? You cannot give what you don't have. And so may God, by His Spirit, work through you. That this seed would fall upon good ground. And collectively, you'll have opportunities to seek God, to break up the fallow ground. And maybe that's the work of preparation that'll be done at the beginning, you know. God needs to work in our hearts. Turn over the soil, and then as the word comes, it's able to take root. Now, we all have a part in that. I'm not leaving you out at all. Because we too have a part of praying and believing and serving. And you too will be sowing seeds in the dining room. Are you going to serve joyfully? I heard one time one of the waitresses was just throwing the plates on the table, not happy to be here, dropping the plates. Is that sowing good seed? No, it's not. In the kitchen. Sometimes we maybe think it's only when we speak God's word, as it were, in the Sunday school lesson or in church, that we're sowing the seed. But here's a little story that you've heard before. How St. Francis of Assisi, he would go into the village. And so one day he took one of the younger, monks or whoever was living with them. And he said, "We're going to go to the village to preach the gospel. You want to come with me today?" And the young man said, "Yes, that was an honor." And so they went, and they stopped at the bakery shop or the baker's house, and they talked to him for a while, and they brought some loaves from him, and then they went to a lady who had just lost her husband, and they gave her those rolls, and they went around town like that all day, just visiting people and talking. And so then St. Francis of Assisi said, let's go home now. And so the young man said, "I thought we were going to preach the gospel." And he said, "We've been preaching the gospel all morning. Just by those simple deeds of love and mercy, the heavenly kingdom comes." And so, let's plant the seed. And remember, every act, everything we do in Jesus' name, we are preaching the gospel. We preach by our lives, beloved. Not just by what we say, but how we live. And remember, that seed is powerful. We didn't look in Peter, but there it talks about being born again by incorruptible seed, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. That's the word that's been preached to you. There's the power of life in that seed. And so, Lord, we thank you this morning for your word. I pray that you would help us in these days to be good sowers and also to be good hearers, that our hearts would be prepared. Lord, we pray that you would work in us, that you would break up, as it were, the fallow ground. Help us to seek you. Help us not to be indifferent to your word, but give us ready minds and hearts that are longing to hear from you. I pray for the girls and those in the cottage that will be coming here to camp. We pray again for them, that their hearts would be prepared. God, you know the things that sometimes are in our hearts that hinder your working, that choke the life of God. I pray that those things would be removed. And I pray also you'd give us that heart for these campers, that we would sow in tears, that we all would take this burden upon our hearts and pray, Lord, we're really here for them. All of us are here to see you work in their lives, and so we want to make a way by faith, by our compassion, by your love flowing through us, that these young people, children, would be brought to you and find you. And so we just again commit ourselves to you, to your working. I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.